of you may have noticed, I talk about Gary a lot on this podcast. Not because he's my favorite character. That spot is reserved for Ash and Pikachu in number two. But because Gary brings so much to this series. Like, your rival's important in the games, just showing up every now and then for some competition, but when converting this thing into an anime, I don't think the creators ever really realized just how much mileage they'd be able to get from this guy. He's the gift that keeps on giving. And this is the first episode where Brock, Misty, and Pikachu meet this important guy in Ash's life. And if there's any relationship more interesting than the Ash and Gary or the Ash and Pikachu, it's the Pikachu and Gary, the Misty and Gary, the Brock and Gary. Penny for their inner thoughts so I could just dissect that. They also meet Mom for the first time and see Professor Oak in person, because they did meet him back at Bill's Lighthouse. But back to the elephant in the room. Yes, this is Peek-a-Bee Podcast. We are covering episode 18 of Pokemon, which is the banned episode. And I know some of you will be happy to hear that. I know at least Jordan was asking for it. So to everybody who was secretly hoping we'd be reviewing the banned episode, this is it. And when we talk about the four banned episodes, there is one that rises above all others and earns all capitals on the THE. This is the banned episode. James is usually attributed to that. He gets the dubious credit for taking this one and not being able to get it past the censors. But in reality, there's kind of a whole host of PG-13-ish jokes in this episode that made editors just throw up their hands in the air and just go, screw it, this is too much work. It did, however, air eventually as an extremely edited version, and therefore we'll be primarily relying on the Japanese today because there's just more episode to work with. So, in the last couple episodes, the team had been shipwrecked, blasted by Gyarados, chased by giant Pokemon, and still managed to destroy a theme park. I'd say they deserve a little vacation, don't you? So, having arrived at this resort town, they hit the beach pronto. Of course, this means swimsuits, and, well, Kasumi can be such a tomboy sometimes. It seems the boys sometimes forget she's a girl. While a far minor reaction compared to the one they both had to Giselle, it is kind of cool to see Satoshi and Takeshi react to the fact that, yes, Kasumi is in fact a girl, and doesn't look too bad in a swimsuit besides. Kasumi, however, does not take kindly to them taking so long to figure that out and hit Satoshi with the Master Ball. Or the Master Beach Ball. Meanwhile, Team Rocket is not far behind. They were stranded on the same island, after all, and have decided to take a break from Pikachu long enough to steal some money and cure their financial problems. I think this is the debut of the Gyarados submarine. You almost had a real one, guys, if you hadn't disowned it earlier. But thievery isn't only for Team Rocket in this episode. Due to some horrible misunderstandings, Satoshi, Kasumi, and Takeshi actually managed to steal a boat. Apparently they were all following Pikachu, which begs two questions. What was Pikachu doing on someone else's boat? And why in blazes is Satoshi driving? Of course, it's not entirely the 10-year-old's fault when he hits the Team Rocket sub, because I'm pretty sure it wasn't supposed to be there anyway. But they lose control of that ship and crash into a dock. This is why little children do not have licenses. And the old man who owns the ship isn't too happy about that. He is happy about how Kasumi could be a real beauty in about 8 years when she's no longer a felony. The group isn't really big on unity and keeps trying to shove the other two into the line of fire to take the blame for the wreck. Team Rocket is hitting the beach as well in a bad way. And this time it's legit when they curse the twerps' names. I'd be mad too. But there they meet Obaba, Brutella, the old lady in this show who hires them on as waiters so that they can get the money to fix their ship. Satoshi and Takeshi are employed as well, trying to drum up some business for the old man's restaurant and repay their debt. However, no one seems interested in his, you know, homey little shop, but the Obaba's restaurant up the way looks nice and fancy, and Team Rocket is getting all the customers. And Musashi makes it very, very clear that this isn't just business, it's personal. I guess that truce of 3 episodes ago is over, and I love her maturity when it comes to dealing with Satoshi, or the lack thereof, rather. Like, tongue sticking out, the whole deal. But in English, Brock has a line, Jesse looks pretty good in that uniform, too. What the heck, Brock? No! How could you? Even her! I thought he was immune to the side of evil. the charms of Team Rocket. But the twerps are riled up by the taunting and are prepared to turn this restaurant business into a personal war. So Satoshi uses his Pokemon as extra staff members, except Butterfree, for reasons I still don't get. Surely he could have been useful as well. But all their work does attract a better crowd. Team Rocket retaliates with dirty tricks, and it's back to square one for the Torpeteria. With no customers, the restaurant is visited by Obaba, who seems to have a position of power here. The old guy owes her money, and if she doesn't pay him back by tomorrow, she'll be taken his boat. I'm originally from Newfoundland, so, you know, taking the boat, that's about as big a threat as you can get. You just don't do that. And after she leaves, Team Rocket throws in their 2 cents. It's because we're better than you. I'm starting to think these guys have a complex, like their world has shifted now so that all their accomplishments are in relationship to Satoshi. Like whatever he's doing, they have to be able to do it better. And at the times when Satoshi is losing, they take it personally, because if they lost to the loser, well, it kind of reminds me of someone else who has a complex with Satoshi, actually. But Satoshi is determined to help the old man with his dream of keeping the boat and sailing around the world, because, you know, dreams are his thing. And an unexpected arrival helps him with that. Yes, it's Okito Hakase, who just happened to be taking a vacation at this exact resort and just happened to stroll by the restaurant and poke his head in and just happened to be the one that Satoshi was at. I love how he does that. And he's with Satoshi's mom. I have questions here. But hosting a beauty contest seems to be the solution to their problems, because where there are beautiful women, there will be people, and people get hungry. Plus, they just might win the thing. So it's advertise, and entering Kasumi as a candidate. There's a cute scene before the contest opens, where Satoshi is catching up with his mom, and she asks if he's doing good, not causing trouble for anyone, and Satoshi is guilt-tripped by the events of crashing the boat. But the old man comes to his rescue and praises Satoshi up and down in front of his mother. It's so sweet. And I think we can all relate. You know, your first year away from home. Yeah, I'm doing great. I just can't pay rent. I'm living off instant ramen. I crashed my car. I'm not getting into a lot of trouble. Whatever. It happens. We've all been there. However, I want to know why Mom and Professor are taking a vacation together. After all, there's really never been any indication of anything that has happened to Satoshi's dad, that he's separated from the family or anything, and they are with a tour group, yes, but even so, those two are pairing up an awful lot, I just have to say. I know that Satoshi's mom has known the prof for a long, long time. You know, their families are close friends, but still, eldershipping anybody. And if they hook up, Satoshi and Shigeru will be stepbrothers. So on that note, let's start the contest. Kasumi is entry number one, and Takeshi gives her a pretty good introduction. There's a bit of a conflict between English and Japanese. In Japanese, she's, you know, determined to win this contest. In English, it's like, this is degrading. I'm only doing it for the money. Although it is Misty. You know she wants to be beautiful. You know she wants to win. But Takeshi gives her a pretty good introduction. And I'm digging the UFO theme she's done with Starmie and Squirtle. But she is not the only contestant. Musashi is entering along with Kojiro, who is, in fact, a boy. In his own words, "What does that matter when I'm this beautiful? My beauty is not found in men." Kojiro, I'm glad you can be that secure in your life. Musashi is her much older body is enough to give Kasumi a run for first place, but Kojiro's inflatable bikini cements it. Kasumi's 10-year-old physique does not stand a chance. And Takeshi, to his credit, does his best to turn public opinion against the Rockets, but, well, it really doesn't work. But what does work is the man of the hour getting his foot in the door, and the best introduction we could possibly ask for is Okito, world eat your heart out, Shigeru. This kid owns all. He knows it, even when wearing a shirt that looks like he might have stolen it from his grandfather's closet. Yes, the cheerleaders are entering the contest, and Shigeru is here to support them. And I would like to point out that Gary just kicked a Pokemon, by the way. But with 6 girls? He stands a decent chance of one of them winning. And I like that this is his introduction to Kasumi, Takeshi, and Pikachu, at the rudest he could possibly be. he actually takes the microphone and taunts Satoshi in the crowd, and it's just the most over-the-top display of bullying ever, turning this unrelated beauty contest into a personal slam. Like, that's how you know that Shigeru at this stage actually does live to make Satoshi's life miserable. Like, he doesn't just say stuff when they run into each other, you know, he actually has to go on stage and make a public deal out of it. Oh, and by the way, look at all my girlfriends. Aren't you jealous, Satoshi? And it goes deep, their rivalry. Satoshi actually stands up and knocks Pikachu off his lap without a second thought. Compared to how long he's known Shigeru, Pikachu's new to the friendship. But penny for his and Takashi and Kasumi's thoughts. Like, you know, so that's Shigeru. Well, not Takashi. He's pretty smitten with the cheerleaders. I don't think he's got much in his thoughts right now. But with the cheerleaders, both Kasumi and the Rockets are growing anxious about their chances of winning. But Obaba has a plan that will wreck the contest and put an end to the restaurant's hope once and for all. So Team Rocket retakes possession of their sub, off to wreak havoc. And Satoshi has completely forgotten about the contest anyway, wanting a match with Shigeru, who keeps turning him down and taunting him. And Satoshi has to be brought back to the plight of the restaurant by, of all people, Takeshi. But thankfully, he's reminded of the task at hand. Because the Rocket sub goes tank. It terrorizes the beach for a bit until Satoshi seizes the microphone and manages to calm everybody down, convincing them that it's a fake, not a real rampaging Gyarados. And everyone is impressed by his calm and his leadership quality. I admit, he's about as hardcore as he can get in a pair of beach sandals. And Prof. Okido, Mom, Misty, like, they're all really impressed with him. Even Shigeru. And his look is best of all. Because Brock looks kind of surprised, but Shigeru is just kind of looking at him sideways like, Sasuga Satoshi, just like you. Like, I guess even bitter rivalry and hatred doesn't trump, you know, the true friendship underneath. And when the Rockets fire the missile, he just stands back, lets Satoshi prove his worth, doesn't even need to, like, open his eyes and look to know how it's going to turn out. Watch that interchange, and then, for all Shigeru's harsh words, tell me he isn't completely aware of Satoshi's true potential. But your best friends know you best, I guess, and Satoshi uses heat from a flamethrower attack to misdirect the missile, aiming it back at the sub and Obaba's restaurant. Yes, evil gets its comeuppance here, and the old man gets to sail around the world and achieve his dream. The contest ends happily. But who won? Well, it's not Delia, I'll tell you that. For some reason, Satoshi's mom is holding the trophy for the winner, which makes me assume it was someone from Pallet. And I gotta say that sucks, because we kind of need closure to this part of the story. Like, even if it were an unnamed character, I kind of feel I need to see her, you know, to put it to rest. But, you know, mom holding it, that's just kind of weird, because she didn't enter. But the English dub isn't any better, because it gives you the closure, but it does so by awarding the trophy to Ash in an honorary fashion for saving the contest. And, well, a 10-year-old boy winning the trophy for a bikini contest is just a little bit sketch, isn't it? You know, Ash has no business winning a beauty contest unless Ashley's making an appearance that we don't know about. So Mom is holding it for the winner, which only makes sense if someone from Pallet won or if the trophy hasn't been awarded yet, which kind of... Again, doesn't really make sense. All the kanji says is winner. Maybe one of the cheerleaders won. I would kill if James won. You know, that's just my vote. If we take a vote on who won this contest, and I think we should, I vote for James. That would just be hilarious and make my day, and would kind of explain why they can't award the trophy. But for a plot device, it works quite well. Her holding it during her and the professor's speech about how Satoshi never looks back serves as a look into her inner thoughts that he's a winner in her eyes. She's proud of her boy. And why wouldn't she be? He's a good kid, is Satoshi. Going far, because I think they're still on the same island when we get to our next episode, episode 19, Tentacool and Tentacruel. So tune in for that. We'll see what else can happen on this wacky island full of resorts that keep getting destroyed by the presence of Ash, Brock, and Misty. So if you'd like to tune into the next episode or comment on anything you've heard or vote for who you think won the beauty contest, there are several ways you can do that. You can visit us at iTunes. We are there under PIKAPI, P-I-K-A-P-I, and you can subscribe to us there or comment or rate us. We actually got a good comment slash public service announcement on iTunes from Jim, who says he wants to let all the fans know that Comcast is putting old episodes of the show on demand. And so he's been listening to the podcast, then watching the show. So if anybody would like to do that, please do. It's so much fun to do them. It kind of is almost like we're all watching it together, except not in the same room. But he also has a question. During the Team Rocket theme, is James always holding a rose? If so, does anyone know why? So if anyone does have a better explanation than the one I'm going to give, please write in, because goodness knows I do not have all the answers. I'm spouting my opinion 90% of the time. But no, actually, James does not always hold a rose. He starts out pretty faithfully throughout like the first 20, 40, maybe even 60 episodes. But after the Indigo League, like, it really just sort of slowly starts petering out, especially once Team Rocket starts doing more of their themed mottos. And it just comes back for dramatic effect. I remember there was this one episode in Advanced where he brought back the rose, and I think my heart like started beating faster. I was like, oh my goodness, it's been so long. But one of the big reasons why he has the rose and does bring it back just to kind of reinstate it every so often is because from the beginning, his character has been a parody of like the Bishonen characters, like the beautiful men in anime, the slightly effeminate yet dashing villains, like a lot of Clamp characters. Tuxedo Mask is a big one. And he always had a rose. But yeah, because James is kind of a joke and a parody of those characters, that rose shows up most of the time. And Pokemon is full of jokes like that. Constantly, parodying famous people, events, other anime. Like, there was this Best Wishes episode just recently, like, where, like, Dent thinks he's a detective or something. He's a parody of Sherlock Holmes. There's these two other kids in the episode. One is a parody of Detective Conan, and another is, like, some other, girl detective anime. Like, Pokemon is full of stuff like that. Anytime they can throw in a parody or an inside joke, they are all over that crap. Just like Satoshi and Shigeru are like the representing the rivalry of, you know, the creators of Pokemon versus the creators of Mario. So that's my reason why. But again, if you have a better one out there, people, please write in and tell us. I'm sure we'd love to hear everybody's opinions on why James has a rose and whether or not you miss having it show up in every motto. Because goodness knows he rocked that thing. You can also visit us at our blog, www.peekapeepodcast.blogspot.com. We're always happy to take comments there. And with that, thank you for listening, everybody. This has been Peekapee Podcast, the band episode. Pikachu! Pikachu!